Hello, my friends. Yes, we are late getting started. Thank you for all the inquiries. Thank you for caring. I had equipment failure. I couldn't get the computer to come up because it kept wanting to update. And then it updated for half an hour. And then it updated for, oh, never mind. But anyway, here we are. It's going to be a slightly shorter show. And then we will continue our discussion on core values next week. Thank you all for being there. Thank you all for caring and for emailing and like that and going, where are you? Are you okay? Yes, thank you. I am okay. The computer, however, was not okay. But now it seems to be functional, unless, of course, this show doesn't actually get onto the Blog Talk Radio platform, I think they call it. Anyway, hello, everyone. I'm going to do our usual little welcome thing because there's some new people, because there always are. Thank you. Welcome to everyone. And yes, it's going to be about a half hour instead of an hour because we plain ordinary didn't manage to get on the air. I was here. I was looking at it going, oh, my God, it's still updating. Never had this. We've been on the air for like a decade. We've never had this before. So anyway, hello, everyone. Thank you for wondering where I was. And welcome. Welcome to Recipe for Peace Now. I'm your host, Sue Beller, and this is the show where we find practical, real-life solutions to difficulties bringing people together for a common good, a common goal. We will discuss listener emails like the ones that said, where are you? Yes, thank you. Common questions, and at the end of the show, well, not the end of this show because we're going to run out of time, but we will have two delicious potluck recipes made for sharing with your new community of, well, if not exactly friends, at least willing participants. If you would like to send in a question or favorite recipe, please email us at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com or visit our website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Also, if you would like to hear prior shows, which there are lots, they are archived on recipeforpeacenow.com. Yes, 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 thank you. People are saying that we're glad that you're here. And thank you. Thank you for caring. Yes, it was complete equipment failure. I had a blue screen that said updating. And a little whirling circle. Yes. Yes, I know. I do have it on updated a certain time. It just obviously refused to do it. Just got the crankies, what can we say? So this time, we're going to be talking about core values. And, of course, we have some. But we're going to think about them specifically because they do greatly impact how we react, what we do, what we know, and how we feel about things, right? Right. So first of all, we're going to talk about leader core values, right? Because, well, we're the leader, and we have some core values that we're going to think about specifically. Now, yes, people are asking about whether religion is a core value, or ethical standards, or moral standards, or things like that, or maybe even your ethnicity, right? Your culture. Not so much your corporate culture, but your internalized culture for whatever kind of culture you're born into usually, or maybe a culture that you have chosen, right? Because people change their views as they go through life because you get experiences, and life changes you. Some of you actually chronicle, I know this because you tell me, and you've chronicled your life for many years, like keeping a diary, and your views change. If you looked at what you thought was true and what you thought was a core value when you were 16 years old, my guess is that, well, most of you are more than 16 now, but say you're in your 40s and above. That's quite a few years ago, and my guess is when you became an adult and you had adult responsibilities and adult experiences, that your core values modified, right? Now, they might not have changed, but they modified, and how you viewed them and what you did about them modified, right? Even your maybe not your religious practices, but the depth of your religious practices may have even modified, even if you haven't changed religion or anything. Because a lot of people spend their whole lives in the same basic foundational core value that they had when they were children. They still have the same ethnicity, the same family members. They're still kind of in the same place. A lot of people are. Americans tend to move around more than other people. And you have your same family and things like that. But how you react, your core values of how you would react as a leader, so much change over time because you have experiences. And you get opinions. And you get responsibilities. And like that, yes. So our leader core values have evolved over time, which is a mighty fine thing because it means that we're adults. And it means that we're really good leaders, right? Right. Mm-hmm. So what leader core values within the context of our discussion, of our leadership in a mediation, a negotiation, an alternative dispute resolution. Yes, I'm going to take a sip of water. Hang on a second. I got so appalled when my computer wouldn't work. I must have sat there with my mouth open because I have a dry mouth. It's like, oh, my goodness, I've never had this before. That really is less than spiffy. Yes, I will have somebody actually look at it. But I think it just decided that it had more important updates than it could possibly handle and therefore wanted to do it. Yes. So what core values within our context do we have that we bring to every negotiation, right? Yes. Let's talk about the one that's being spoken about first is the ability to listen. To listen with an open heart and an open mind. And that's very important, to listen with an open heart and an open mind. Because although we may have some moralistic core values, and for goodness sake, I certainly have them, you try to remember that not everybody shares them, for heaven's sakes, and not to maybe to the same depth, and maybe they believe within the context of what they're doing that they are within those core values, right? They're just interpreting them differently. So listening and having patience, too, which is going to be the second thing we talk about. Patience, right? Mm-hmm. And yes, thank you, because a lot of you, we've talked about this before, a lot of you are talking about the civility rules, and they are a core value, that we will be respectful to our fellow person during the negotiation process. We will be respectful. We will be civil. We will not be rude to anyone, never mind our participants or somebody of importance, right? We're never rude. It's not one of our core values, is to treat people respectfully, right? So we need to be a model of civility and a model of enthusiasm too, right? Yes. It's not necessarily the same thing, although you always are civil, and always enthusiastic, too. Modeling enthusiasm, because people are wondering if it's the same topic. Modeling enthusiasm means that you will act and think, really, in your heart, that we can have a successful outcome. If you do not think this is true, then you should reanalyze why you're the leader. I'm quite serious about this, because if you truly have no hope, then you shouldn't take this on, because your participants and everyone else you deal with will be able to feel it. They'll know if you don't have enthusiasm, and you're just doing it, I don't know why. Sometimes people do stuff for the publicity, but it's not going to be good publicity because you're not going to have a successful outcome. And you need the successful outcome to have good publicity. Yes, yes. Uh-huh. So you need to be a model of enthusiasm, too. Yes, one of our core values should be our own self-reflection. People are calling it self-assessment of our preconceptions, right? And we need to have self-assessment, right, of how we really feel about this. You know, we are humans. And sometimes, I don't know, no one thinks we are, we're superior, but we are, but we're humans and we have human emotions. And sometimes you really think one participant, one side, is kind of more reasonable than the others. But we're going to hash the whole thing out, and we're going to be a model of civility and enthusiasm, and we're going to work towards the middle, right? Because that's what we're really working towards. We're working towards the middle. Yeah. Yes, our preconceptions, our preconceived notions, we'll talk about this in a second, but there are really two types. There are learned preconceptions, something we've been taught by someone we truly respect, right? And there are experience ones. We've dealt with these types of issues before, maybe even with this group before, and we've got an idea, at least we think we do, how it's going to go. But, you know, that's when you get the most surprised, and it doesn't go that way at all. It's been my experience. It's kind of like, really? Oh, no, don't think so. Yeah, so we need to do self-assessment, and we do that privately. But we do it quite a bit to determine if we're kind of biasing the negotiation process, because we can, but we want to lead them towards a workable solution for everybody and not lean towards one side or the other, because then people will feel that they've lost, and that's not the idea. We're consensus building. We are building a team that can go forward into the future, right, and really make a successful outcome. We like theory as much as the other person, but we really like to get somewhere first, right? Right. Yes, we're going to need some empathy. Remember that empathy, and which should be a core value of ours always when dealing with people, and remember that empathy is understanding, not necessarily agreement. People get that confused. Empathy is understanding, not necessarily agreement. Who else has core values within the negotiation process? Well, I think we're going to see a lot of core values. How about participant core values, right? Yeah. Participant core values might also be their preconceptions and their upbringing and their culture and their learned as well as experienced, right? They also need to have empathy. You might have to teach it. You might have to show them by leadership example and by actual teaching it. I plain ordinary come out and say, we're going to think about having empathy. We're going to do some role playing, for example. Now, that's more in teaching mode. Sometimes if I've got a group that is truly far away, they're really diverse, we do a simple workshop on negotiation practices so that we understand what we're supposed to do. So that we understand the listening and the patience, and that empathy is understanding, not necessarily agreement, and that we're going to reach consensus, and there's going to be some give and take, right? Yes, there's not going to be a clear winner, because we're all going to win. Yes, we are. Yes. Participant core values often have to do with team participation too. Sometimes you get some prima donnas, right? Some divas. Some people that think that they're kind of too important to be there. We're going to make a team, right? Yes. Yes. And they must, of course, also respect the civility rules. Respect for all. Who else needs to have some core values in this conversation? How about the employer, right? Yes. Remember, in this particular show, employer, the word employer is used as a generic term. It means whoever had the good sense to bring us in as leader, right? It does not necessarily indicate an actual employment relationship. It might, but it does not necessarily indicate that. So employer is a generic term for whoever, whatever. Sometimes we're brought in by a board, an organization, a vote. Yeah, I've been actually, I shouldn't admit this, but hey, I've been actually brought in as leader, and then I find out that they had a bunch of names, a bunch of people that they thought would be good choices, and that I was the least offensive to everyone. Well, I don't know if that's a good start or not a good start, but hey, it means that at least I was a good third-party impartial negotiator, right? Yeah. And if it's, we're going to talk about what you need to get from the employer in order to go forward, especially in situations like that, where you're kind of brought in, I'm going to say with consensus, but not with wholehearted enthusiasm. Least bad of the bunch is kind of, well, I suppose it's a compliment and it's a start, but it's not exactly heartwarming, if you know what I mean. Yes, and I understand there's some negotiation that goes with that. So, hey, so the employer has core values, too, that you have to know about, which is empathy. You have to have understanding. And I like to come right out and ask, right? And it also makes the employer, remember it's a generic term, really think about what it is that they want. What it is that they want. Hey, this is a good thing to have to think about because sometimes they haven't got it clear. So a lot of times the employer, at least in my world because I deal corporate a lot, has a corporate culture that kind of defines core values. And the leaders, the employer, the people in charge at least say they believe in those core values. Now, they may believe in a modified part of core values, but we're going to have to discuss that. We're going to have to discuss what the core values are and what expectations they have. Sometimes, before I will start to lead a group that needs to get to a successful outcome, I have to lead the employer. And we have to decide what the core values are and what it is that we want. What does success look like? Because if they don't know how to define it, well, how are they going to know when we reach it, right? Yes, this is a good point, too, that Muhammad and others are making. Sometimes core values are old. And this is a rapidly changing age, right? And the core values from a long time ago, for maybe a founder of the organization, and we have to not necessarily change them. Sometimes that's too much to think about, to change the core values. It's like people fight over a mission statement. I'm not so much interested in the statement as I am in the application, the modern-day application, the flexibility of what it is we're supposed to do, right? Yes, this is a good point, too. Suki and others are commenting that sometimes when you're dealing with organizations that are fairly big, like a multinational, that although the core values are often often actually stated somewhere, the interpretation changes according to the underlying foundational core values of the society and the people enforcing them. Do you understand that? Sometimes you're dealing, the core values are stated, but they are not applied the same in different parts of the world. Maybe not in different parts of the organization, depending how big, how varied, and how kind of whole it is, right? Yeah. So it's very important to understand that and to understand the workings, right? And to have empathy for it, which is understanding, not necessarily agreement. Yes. If the employer core values, you need to acknowledge and decide what success looks like. Thank you. Yes. Hussein says you need to be flexible. Yes. And when we get to the civility rules, which we'll talk about, the employer as a core value must believe in them, because you're going to ask the employer, remember it's generic, to back you up with the fact that we must act in a respectful and civil manner. Because you may have a group that doesn't want to, and some people in the group that for one reason or another have their own agenda, and we need to be able to deal with that. We need to understand it. We need to say, no, we will not act in an uncivil manner towards each other, for example. Right? Right. I wonder if this is a core value. Sometimes I think it is. With the employer, a lot of people are talking about funding, money, and whether the a reasonable ability and the and a process that's reasonable to get funding is a core value. I think it is. Some organizations have a core value, for example, of social good. Now, how that's defined changes, but they have funding for such a thing if it's under that parameter. And that's different than just our day-to-day operation. But how we do our day-to-day operation so that it's good, for example, for our employees, right? Yeah. That makes a big difference. Sometimes organizations, companies, people, because you are going to be dealing, if you're first starting out especially, with not such big companies, but with individuals maybe, or maybe organizations that are smaller, have a definite thought about them, might be even an ethnic or religious or social type thought, and they're kind of unwilling to fund anything that's not narrow because it doesn't reach their core value. They're not only kind of cheap with funding, so that's interesting always, but they're very, people are calling it narrow-minded. Oh, all right. Yeah, they are. They're kind of narrow-minded. The focus is very, very thin. Very, this is what we're going to do. And you have to help pry that a little bit more open so that we can deal with the world and not just people of like kind of small mind, right? That's core values, but you see, sometimes you can help people, help the employer, help organizations expand their core values. Yes. Yes, we are going to talk about that. And this is a very good point. People are using the word comfort zone. And that has to do with core values of everyone, leaders, participants, employers. And we're next going to do the outsiders and the media core values, right? And comfort zone is really a broad definition, but it's really the way I think about it, and you guys can correct me if you have a better definition. The comfort zone is how it's always been done. Therefore, people truly feel that that's how it should be. It's a human nature to want to understand what's going on and to be able to work within it because we understand it. We understand what's coming up next, right? Yeah. And we understand that that's the way it kind of should be. And the other people think, oh, that kind of should be the employer. But the participants, the outsiders, the leader, and like that think, oh, maybe we should expand how things have always been done because times have changed. Right? Yeah. I'll tell you what a big breaking point for a lot of comfort zones was because I was around. And I'm not 107. You can all look at my picture and decide how old I am, but I'm not that old as a human being. But I've been an attorney since I was 22 years old. So I've done a lot. I've had a lot of experience, and I have a lot of mediation experience. I've dealt with people. And the ability to really have instantaneous information with the internet has really sped things up and has really rattled quite a few comfort zones in both directions. Because we're going to talk about it in a minute when we talk about everyone, really, but this applies straight down the board, and we're about to talk about outsiders and media and core values. But one of the core values that everybody has is their own comfort zone, how they've been doing it in the past, and why it should be now. And the internet's an interesting thing because I see that sometimes people research the internet to validate their comfort zone instead of to expand it. If you look hard enough, you can find groups, really verbal, you know, really excited and intense groups. We'll call them intense. You can find groups who will agree with whatever it is that your comfort zone agrees with, even if it's kind of not very mainstream. Let's put it that way. Now, I don't deal with people that have illegal comfort zones or something, but sometimes people kind of like to live in the past because the past is easy and like that. And, you know, we all have that urge. We all have had times when we think, oh, things were better in the past. Yeah, we remember our childhood. We remember people that have died and like that. And we think, oh, this was better then, and maybe we could see if we can go back to it. It's been my experience that the past is the past, and it's pretty darn hard to recreate, and you should consider going forward and seeing what the future can hold within your comfort zone and expand it. But you see, that's my core value. My core value, due to my life experience, is let's stand up straight, pay attention, and move forward in the most reasonable, logical, agreeable way that we can, using the past as our basis. Right? I must confess that is generally what I think, so it's one of my core values as a leader. If you want to go backwards to the past, to what used to be. But technology and everything else wise, in my opinion, is not a reasonable expectation. Because sometimes people want to go back to what the founder originally thought, for example, with an organization. I'm probably the wrong leader for that. I probably am, because it's not one of the things that's into my core values. And I have a lot of core values, most of them having to do with morals and truth. And religion. Okay, a lot of you have seen me in person. Thank you. And you know that I am a practicing Christian. And you know this because not so much that I invoke the Lord or Jesus or something at every time we meet. Necessarily, some groups we do, but because I wear a cross. And it is one of my core values as a person, but I don't disrespect anyone else's religion. Yes, because I think the religion leads to moral standards. And I think that we should all indeed have moral standards and be able to deal with each other, right? Once I say that, people tell me that they are atheists and agnostics and like that. And that's okay as long as you have moral values, right? And you treat each other respectfully. You respect me. I will respect you, right? Yeah, it's a core value. A core value of respect. My friends, we started this a half hour late. We haven't even gotten to the outsider and media core value where we talk about the use of experts and invite everyone to the table and getting a spokesperson to deal with the media and maybe with outsiders who might be the leader but might be expert. But my radio show thingy says 90 seconds. So we will continue this discussion next week, right? Yes, it'll be fabulous. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for caring that we showed up late. Thank you for all of your participation. If you want to find us, we're recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com. Our website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Prior shows, they're archived on that website. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all of your participation. Thank you for coming. And please do come again. Next week, we will have core values continued. Thank you very much, and I look forward to next week, and hopefully we'll start on time, for heaven's sakes. We had equipment failure. Thank you, and I will listen to and see and hear from all of you next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.